desire and interest in your prayers this morning. The Lord had put some burdens on my heart before we came to the meeting. After the news that we received this morning, our hearts were very heavy, and I will just acknowledge I'm feeling a little emotional this morning. I share in the grief of our friend and brother and sister in the Lord this morning. It's also brought back a lot of memories to me. Lord gave me another message this morning than what I had kind of, Lord did a little U-turn on us this morning. Want to share what the Lord gave to me for the service today and ask for your prayers. Like to turn over to Psalm 61. Psalm 61, we'll begin reading with verse 1. I've written on the board from the end of the earth. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David wrote this psalm. They think that it was in regard to when he was during the time of Absalom's rebellion. And that was during the time that his own son had turned on him. And so David's heart was extremely heavy, and David had been fleeing for his life. So in a sense, David was in a state of exile and banishment from his own home. He had left Jerusalem, and he was running for his life. And David entreated the Lord in a time of very deep distress. In a time when he was feeling so overwhelmed, and he said, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. Hear me, Lord. And he said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. From the end of the earth. David was running, and he was fleeing. And the thinking was that at this time that David was on the other side of the Jordan River. So he was not on the side where he knew it well, where he was comfortable, where life went on as normal. See, David was the king. And so he had all of the servants around. He had people around him. He was out of his comfort now. He wasn't where things were going well. He was in a time of distress. He was not at home. He was not there where things were comfortable. And so he phrased it this way, from the end of the earth. I'm not at home. I'm in a place of distress. And so being far removed, I'm on the other side of the earth, so to speak. And he said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Have you all ever been at the end of the earth, figuratively speaking? In a time where this is not my normal. Things are not right. I feel so far removed. Maybe I feel removed from the love that I one time felt. You see, love is more than feelings, but you can feel very lonely sometimes with things that happen in life. And I believe David was in a state here that he was feeling very alone. He was feeling desolate. All of those that had one time stood by his side in battle, they weren't there anymore. And he was by himself, and he just felt, I'm at the end of the earth. So what do we do when we're at the end of the earth? What do we do when it seems like that things around us are caving in, and it seems like there's nowhere to turn and there's nothing to do? If we can find the answer where David found it, he said, from the end of the earth, I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Many years ago, some of you probably remember hearing in the news where there were some coal miners in Pennsylvania that were trapped underneath the ground. They were 240 feet underground. And there was a cave-in. They breached actually an old mine that was full of water. And that water began to seep in where in their tunnel, and they retreated to an air pocket that was 4 feet high. And that those that were there, the miners, crouched together in the cold, wet darkness, and they were there for almost 80 hours waiting to be rescued. And you know how desolate it felt? You want to talk about from the end of the earth, they were at the bottom of the earth. 240 feet, no light, a place of total darkness, but yet there was something inside that they were holding on to hope. Someone, maybe someone will come. Maybe we can be rescued. David was feeling and experienced many of those same emotions that I'm sure they felt. But folks, as long as we are in this life, there are going to be times that darkness does come. In this life, just because we are saved and love the Lord, it does not mean that we are going to be exempt from all of the heartaches that life brings. When Jesus himself was on the cross, his prayer was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had not really forsaken Jesus. God was there. See, there's a little bit of a misunderstanding on that passage of Scripture. God had not forsaken his Son because Christ was bearing the sin of the world. But when someone is going through suffering, what do you instinctively want to do for them? You want to help them, don't you? You want to deliver them from their suffering. And I believe that when Jesus was on the cross and God was looking at his Son, I believe that God, figuratively speaking, had to turn his head because he was watching his Son suffer. But God knew that that suffering was going to bring forth salvation to mankind. And so God turned his head and did not deliver him from the cross. And Jesus was feeling some of that separation. He was feeling some of that aloneness, if you will. And I believe that there are times in life that we may go through that we feel that as well. But it does not mean that God has left us. It does not mean that God has forsaken us. During, I think about from the end of the earth, what gets us to that place? There are so many things in life that can do it. I'll mention just a very few. Sometimes you can be in a place of physical affliction that you are at the end of the earth. I'm hurting, I'm in pain, the prognosis is not good, and it almost seems if there's no hope. This is something that it's taken my energy, it's taken my, even almost drained the life out of me. And it seems like I'm at the end of the earth. What do I do? Mentioned this morning, those that have wayward children, do you know if you ever have been at the end of the earth, that'll get you there. When you see those that you love and those that you care for walk away from God, it brings a real spirit of desolation and even darkness. Because that's where your hope is. That your children are the things that are closest to you. And there are so many times that when your children suffer, you would rather take that suffering yourself. Because we don't want to see our children hurt. We don't want to see them in pain. And when you have, if you have a child that walks away from God, the pain is real. And it brings tears. And because we're not exempt from suffering because we love God. Because sin is still in the world and we feel it. And I believe coming to say, Lord, I'm at the end of the earth. I have not experienced this, but I've ministered to those that have when they have found themselves, their marriage is breaking up. And those that whether the husband or wife has left them, and they're in a place that the one that I've loved for so many years and built a life together, and now I find myself alone. Talk about being at the end of the earth. Talk about feeling like there's no hope. Looking forward, there's nothing to live for. Nothing to live for anymore. And those are feelings. Those are emotions. It's not reality, but is there reality when they're there? And it doesn't always help to come and say, oh, it's going to be okay. I was talking to someone on the phone recently, and they were sharing some of their heartaches, and they were feeling like they were at the end of the earth. And I made the comment, you know what, it's going to be okay. And then I corrected myself and said, okay, if it makes you feel any better, it's not going to be okay. The pain is still there. I said, I'll say it so you don't have to say it and then apologize for it. The pain is still there. The hurt is still there. But I know this morning. I can testify to you. And I know we could share many testimonies with each other here this morning. But David said, from the end of the earth, what am I going to do? I'm going to cry to you. I'm not going to walk away from God because I've seen Him work too many times. I see the Lord do too much that when I'm at the end of the earth and it feels like even God Himself has forsaken me, I still know that He exists. I know God is there. And David said, I'm going to cry to you, Lord. Here I'm running for my life. I'm not at home. I'm desolate and there's darkness all around me. But I know where I'm going to turn. I'm going to cry to you, Father. And he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, he said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Consider Job this morning, and I know you're familiar with the story of Job, but there is a scripture, a very poignant scripture in the 17th chapter, the 23rd chapter of Job, verse 16 and 17. He said, for God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. Have you ever been in a place of darkness or at the end of the earth and it's like, Lord, why don't you deliver me? Where are you, God? Job was acknowledging that God did not cover the darkness from my face. Don't be discouraged this morning when you are going through very difficult times and it just seems like God isn't doing what God ought to do. You know, sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers the moment we pray Him. Sometimes He does not reveal Himself the moment we feel like we need Him to reveal Himself. Because God does not always cover our face from the darkness. But Job knew that God was still there. Remember, Job looked. He looked on the right hand, he looked on the left, and he looked in front of him, and he looked behind him. And it's like, Lord, you're normally, if you're not on one side, I can normally find you over here. And Job didn't find him. But yet, Job's faith superseded what he saw and what he felt. And he said, He knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. There is going to come a day when the Lord will reveal himself once again. And if I don't see him today, it doesn't mean he's not there. If I don't feel his presence today, it does not mean he's left me desolate, because he gave us a promise. And he said, I will, and I believe Dad mentioned, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So when I feel forsaken, and when it feels like God has left me, I rest in assurance this morning, when I am at the end of the earth, my God is still there. And the joy of it is this morning, and it's very difficult when you are in the middle. Do you know, sometimes the words of comfort just don't resonate. If you've been at the end of the earth and someone comes and they're trying to encourage you, and trying to boost your faith, and it kind of feels like you know they mean well, but it's just in your mind you're thinking they just don't get it. Because I'm at the end of the earth and they're trying to tell me it's going to be better and they're trying to tell me that God still loves me, but you don't understand, I'm at the end of the earth. You know what? We've been there. But I want to tell you something, it's not only we that have been there, God is there. That gives me comfort for myself and for you too. For those that are at the end of the earth, I will testify this morning that some of the greatest blessings I found, when I have found the presence of God the richest, is in the darkest of times when I was at the end of the earth. And at the end of the earth, I found my God was still there. I found him in the darkness reveal his love. I found in the time of desolation, and I saw the Lord Jesus come walking out of the wilderness, and it did something to my spirit. Hold on, my child. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't let down. Don't walk away from your faith. Don't walk away from those that love you and care about you. When you are at the end of the earth, if you will just tarry, because we don't have the power to change it anyway, do we? We don't have the power to change so many circumstances in life. But at the end of the earth, in your wilderness, there will come a time, and it may not seem like it, and you may think, Brother Michael, you don't know where I'm at. I don't know where you're at, but I know my God. And I know that in time, the Lord is going to come bursting through that darkness in light, and it's going to radiate in your spirit that you can say the Lord was here. I didn't see Him, I didn't experience Him, I didn't feel Him, but God was there all the time. God has not left us desolate as a people this morning. When my heart is overwhelmed, overwhelmed means the word in the Hebrew, it means to cover. Like grass covers a field, David was feeling darkness covering his spirit. It wasn't just a little bit. He was feeling covered. I'm overwhelmed. But David said, when my heart is overwhelmed and it's just blanketed in darkness, he said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I don't know what all David meant exactly by that, but I'll share with you what the Lord gave to me. There are times in life when your heart might be overwhelmed, and it seems that you're at the end of the earth and you don't have the power in your own strength to find God. So David said in his cry to God, it's like, lead me, because Lord, I can't find you. I don't know how to get to you, God. I'm at the end of the earth. And so in his prayer, he said, Lord, it's kind of like someone that's blind. I don't know where to go. So I need someone to come and take my hand and lead me, because I can't find it in my own strength. If it helps anyone here this morning, it's okay to say, I don't know how to find God. Because the Lord is still there. And in those times of life, if you will just say, Lord, I can't find you, I need you to lead me to you. I need you to lead me to that place. Lead me to the rock. And who is that rock this morning? That rock is Jesus Christ. Lord, I don't know how to get there, because I've been searching and I'm struggling and you're covering my face. So I need someone to take my hand and lead me to the rock. The Lord will not forsake you. He will not leave you. When your heart is overwhelmed, Psalms 42, verse 3, let's just turn and read that. David said, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? See, this is not just kind of having a rough day. That's not what this message is about. You young folks, some of you may have experienced some of this, but if you haven't, you just file this one away, because one day you're going to need it, unfortunately. But the fortunate part of it is that God's going to be there in your tomorrow when you get to the end of the earth. My tears have been my meat day and night. I can't escape it because I'm covered over. My heart is overwhelmed, Lord. And I thought that if I got saved, that peace would always just roll like a river. And I always thought that if I got saved, that I would be exempt from this. But true peace, and here's the reality, true peace is knowing and experiencing the presence of God in my life when I am overwhelmed. And at the times that I'm starting, even my peace is disturbed, I know where to turn. We know where to look this morning when our peace is disturbed and we're at the end of the earth. We'll do as David has said, Lord, you're my rock. I know this is where I'm going to get my strength. So Lord, I need you to get me there. I need you to get me back there, because life has started covering over the joy. And the Lord's going to be faithful. My tears have been my meat day and night, Where is thy God? After you've had these experiences, you're going to start questioning the reality of God. Where is God? Here I thought he was supposed to be right here beside me, and it seems like he's let me down. Many people have come to a place in their life that they felt like God had failed them. You notice I said felt? Feelings are real. Feelings are our reality. And yet, faith can supersede our feelings. Because I look in my own life, as you can in yours this morning, look back at the times that it kind of seemed like God failed. Kind of seemed like God let you down. And it's like we begin questioning, Lord, why? That we can look back years later sometimes. We can look back and we can see where God was working through those times of darkness. God was working undercover. And then we look back and say, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for not just doing what I wanted you to do at the time when I was at the end of the earth, but Lord, thank you for doing what you do best, and that's being God. My wife has reminded me before when I was in a place that I felt like I was into the earth and the burdens were so great. She said, Michael, let God be God. In other words, we can start assuming on ourselves that desire to control circumstances. We can take upon ourselves responsibility sometimes for others. And I can't help what you do. I can't help many of the things that come in life. And that's when our challenge is to say, Lord, I'm going to let you be God. Not that he needed our permission. But in my life, Lord, I want you to take that responsibility and help me just to be able to rest in the presence of God, and the Lord will prove himself faithful. There are so many scriptures and things and examples that the Lord put on my mind, but I don't want to be guilty this morning of taking away from the message by giving too much. You understand? Sometimes we can dilute the message because there are so many wonderful examples in the scripture of people that were in a place that they were at the end of the earth, and they cried to the Lord, and the Lord came through for them. But sometimes it's a process of time. So every time you pray when you're in this place and it seems like that it's not getting through, I want to remind you and encourage your faith, God is still listening. And God is working when we do not see him. There's a passage I would like to read. Isaiah 25:4, he said, For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible one is as a storm against the wall. Folks, the Lord promised not to put more on us than what we are able to bear. And in the darkest of times, he'll be a refuge from the storm. He will be a shadow from the heat. He'll be there to be a shelter for us, because the passage went on. See, David, after expressing how he felt, he went on to say, For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. In verse 4, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. I'm going to trust, Lord. I'm at the end of the earth. And I'm overwhelmed, but I know where my help comes from. My help comes from the Father, from the one that made heaven and earth. So, Lord, I'm going to trust in your wings. Do you know the Lord has his wings open to all of us? And I think about Jesus when Lazarus died and Mary and Martha were grieving. You remember what Jesus did? What did he do? Jesus wept. Why did he do that? Had he lost his hope? Jesus hadn't lost his hope. But Jesus was entering in to the distress and the grief of those that he loved. The scripture tells us to weep with those that weep, to mourn with those that mourn, and to rejoice with those that rejoice. But I believe that the Lord Jesus this morning, when we are at the end of the earth, He can lead us to where His wings are, because, Lord, I can't find that place of comfort. And the Lord brings us in. And have you ever been with someone that was grieving and you cried and you wept with them? And it was because you were part with them. Do you know the Lord, even in a place of despair, the Lord wants to put His arms around us and draw us in. And He'll cry with us a little bit. And then He's going to wipe our tears away. And He's going to begin to restore the joy. And He'll restore the hope. And it is because my Jesus lives this morning that I can face tomorrow. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee when my heart is overwhelmed. May the Lord bless us. Amen.